Be honest with you, I had a lot of preliminary things I was going to say tonight. I had two or three jokes I thought I might tell. I believe God wants to do something. You take your Bibles and be turning to Matthew chapter number 13. While you're turning there, I want to tell Brother Al Roscoe what a joy it has been for me over these many years that we have known each other, be counted his friend. I thank God for over these last 11 years, many of you preachers that we've come to know, and I've even preached in several of your churches, how thankful I am that God gave us a meeting place like this where we could become acquainted. Somebody asked me in my church, they said, "Preacher, why do you preach all over New York?" It's because of this place right here, where God knit our hearts together. I thank Him for it tonight. Amen? Appreciate all the hard work that goes into this meeting. I appreciate the men who came out in the kilts and with the bagpipes tonight. That stirred my soul. You say, "Well, that's just an emotion." Well, it needed stirring. Amen? When we shout and holler, yes, that's an emotion, and some of y'all don't like it. But when you sit there with your arms crossed and that scowl look on your face, that's an emotion, and we don't like it. Amen. The Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. Before I begin tonight, I'm the only preacher, so don't get nervous. I'm going to take my time. But before I begin tonight, we've got the balcony nearly full, and maybe we've got some of that Cast and Crown concert people who thought they were here for a concert. Amen. And if you're in here, you're more than welcome. Thank God. But seriously, tonight, over the years that Brother Roscoe and the Chi-Lai Bible Baptist Church has put on the Youth Ablaze, if you were saved in one of those meetings, even if it was in this one this weekend, or over the past how many years? 19 years. If you were saved in this meeting, would you stand up tonight? If this is where you got saved, if you say, "I got saved at Youth Ablaze in such year," I want you to stand tonight. If you surrendered to the ministry at a Youth Ablaze service, surrendered to preach the gospel, would you stand up, please? Anybody called to preach while at the Youth Ablaze? If your life was greatly touched or changed during any of these 19 consecutive Youth Ablaze meetings, would you stand? Thank you, Brother Roscoe. Thank you, Lord. God's not through. He hasn't quit. He hasn't stopped. His grace is still sufficient. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want us to a simple little thought, but a serious thought. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 13. Matthew 13, 13. The Lord said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables." Watch why He said He speaks to them in parables. He said, "Because seeing, they see not." Did you hear that? He said, "Because seeing, they see not." I don't know how many times in my 17 years of being a pastor I've had people come to me and said, "Preacher, I don't see anything wrong with this." That's the problem. You're seeing, but you see not. I've had people literally leave my church over my stand and my beliefs about dating. They see, but they see not. And He said, "I speak in parables because they see, but they don't understand what they see."
But he didn't stop there. He said, in hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. The Lord said, seeing, they see not, hearing, they hear not. How many times have you ever spoke to a teenager and you might as well have been 1,000 miles away? They heard you, but hearing, they hear not. A preacher said to me some years ago, and I thought it was profound at the time, and I gave it some thought, and I wouldn't correct an older man of God, but Brother Jenkins, here's what he said. He said, Brother Eddie, in America, we have lost the art of hearing. One day, my little cousin's son, we were keeping him at the house, and he brought his Nintendo game, Xbox, or I don't know, one of them. And he had it hooked up in my son's bedroom and was playing it, and my wife told me to go and get him. She had him some hot dogs ready, and I stepped to the door of the bedroom, and I said, Tanner. He never looked up. I said, ice cream. Huh? God is my witness. And there the Holy Spirit revealed something to me. In America, we have not lost the art of hearing. We have developed the art of selective hearing. We hear exactly what we want to hear. Tonight, you are looking, some of you, for two words. You're dismissed. That's the two words that you'll hear tonight. Isn't it amazing how we can be where the grace of God flows so freely and the Spirit of God moves so freely and all we hear is you're dismissed? Something's wrong in America. Seven times in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, in the seven letters to the seven churches, the statement is made, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Seven times, over and over, God repeats that same statement to the churches. In the Gospels, Jesus says several times, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. When I was a child, my granddaddy used to say, boy, I thought that was my name till I was about 12. Actually, I thought my first name was Shut Up and my last name was Boy. But my granddaddy used to say, boy, God gave you two ears and one mouth. That means you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. Amen. My cell phone carrier is Verizon Wireless. Can anybody tell me Verizon's slogan? Can you hear me now? I'll be honest with you, cell phones are a blessing and a curse. How many of us ride down the road and say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You turn your head this way, turn your head that way. Can you hear me now? I slipped out of here and tried to call my wife last night before she got to bed. I started right there and started around that way. Can you hear me now, baby? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And I went flying to the door where I could get near the outside. I said, can you hear me now? She said, yeah, I hear you now. I wonder sometimes if God isn't looking at America and saying, America, can you hear me now? As those bridges collapsed several years ago out in California, I wonder if God said, hey, America, can you hear me now? I wonder as those planes flew into the Twin Towers in New York City, if God did not say, America, can you hear me now? When I couldn't get my son's attention, I'd slap him upside his head. Hey, boy, you hear me now? Sometimes God may need to give us a little slap upside the head. I wonder, as the levees broke in New Orleans, the most wicked city in America, voodoo and witchcraft is practiced nowhere greater than it was in the city of New Orleans. And as the flood waters rose, yes, it was tragic. Yes, it was awful. But I wonder if God was saying, New Orleans, America, can you hear me now? As our economic experts come on the television and they talk about the downfall of our economy, about the value of our dollar, about the hope of Social Security being gone, I wonder if God, from His kingly throne, isn't looking at America the Beautiful tonight and saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Listen, young people, it's not that God has stopped speaking. We stopped listening. We're listening to professors. We're listening to lawyers. We're listening to economists. We should be listening to God. Teenagers are listening to their flesh. They're listening to their friends. They're listening to the fashion of the world when we should be listening to God. You say, preacher, God has never spoke to me. Have you ever asked Him to? Have you ever asked Him to? God started speaking to my heart early on as a Christian. And God has a message for you tonight. God's had messages lined up. He probably had 30 messages in the sermon from Brother John Jenkins last night. I told Brother Shirley, I said, I could preach a series out of that right there. I told Tony, I'm going home and I'm going to build me a message on Suffer Them Not. Never thought about that. About the grown-ups getting in the way of the young'un. Well, that's hot, preacher. God's been speaking to my heart since the day I got here. Somebody said, Brother Eddie, we're so glad you came. No, you don't understand. I'm so glad I came. I'm so glad I was here tonight and the Spirit of God could speak witness to my heart as those men blew them bagpipes and they played our national anthem about the amazing grace of God. I'm so glad I was here tonight. I'm so glad I was here tonight when they sang about His life or mine. He took my place. He died in my stead. And down in the depths of my soul tonight, something was jumping up and down and saying, hallelujah, glory to God. Yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you, Lord. You died for me. If I'd been the only one, Brother Sherry, He'd have still took my place. It would have still been His life for mine. You say, you think the Lord loves you that much? I know He does. Not only that, I think He loves you that much. Amen. Can I get a witness? Hey, why don't we just have church tonight? Come on. Somebody ought to wake up in here and we ought to realize the grace of God and we ought to thank God that heaven is not silent tonight. Amen. But to hear from God, I have to have a receiver. One of my favorite preachers in America made this statement years ago. He said, over your heads, thousands, thousands of songs floating over the top of your head right now. There's thousands and thousands of songs. He says there are thousands of newscasts being broadcast all over the world and they're floating right over the top of your head. He said there's thousands of gospel songs and gospel messages being preached and they're floating right over your head. He said, oh, you know all you got to have? He said, whoo, you just got to have a receiver. That's Brother Earl Hughes. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad. Thanks be unto God. I've got a receiver. I said I've got a receiver, and it's tuned in to the right channel, and it's on tonight. Hey, thanks be unto God. I can still hear the voice of God. Woo! My wife is my girlfriend. Oh, yeah. 26 years, buddy. That's my babe. And she's hotter than a $2 pistol, son. Oh, yeah. I told her today, I said, if I crawl through this little hole right here, I'd kiss you right in the mouth. She said, well, grease up and give it a try. Amen. I love my wife. Soon as I walk out of here, I'll call her. But you know what? I could dial her number all day long. She ain't got something on the other end. There's going to be no communication. Not one little bit. She can call me all day long, Brother Daniel. I don't have something to catch it on this end. There'll never be any communication. You ever try to call somebody and call and call and call and call and call, and you finally get them to go, oh, I had my phone turned off. Some of you have been sitting there like this since you got here. You've got your phone cut off. You've got your spiritual receiver cut off, and you don't care who knows it. I believe God's got something to say to me. I'd like to hear it. Amen. I was preaching in Jigger, Louisiana. Some of y'all have heard this message, but wake up anyway. We might slide something new in there. I was preaching in Jigger, Louisiana. Jigger, Louisiana is in the middle of, you go to the middle of nowhere and it's about another 100 miles. I'm telling you, I'm looking for a town. Brother Jenkins, they got a store and a post office. I'm talking about a store with a wooden floor in it. Yes, sir. I'm talking about Jigger, Louisiana. I ain't talking about country boys. I'm talking about redneck. Oh, yeah, I thought I was. No, I ain't even close. But I've got Verizon Wireless. And everywhere I go, there's supposed to be a multitude of people following me. Everywhere I go, they're supposed to be there. This is a dead zone. I've got the, what they call them? I've got the network. Apparently, the network does not know how to get to Jigger, Louisiana. I'm lost. I've got to preach in about an hour. I can't find my way. I can't even find a house to knock on a stinking door. I picked up my phone and I said, I'll call the preacher. I cut that thing on. Ain't no bars. I ain't got no signal. Then there's a little thing popped up on my screen and it said, searching for signal. My phone was out there hunting that crowd and that helicopter and all that. He's hunting all them. Could not find them anyway, anyhow. I finally flagged a man down in the middle of the road. Stop! Stop! He pulled up an old Ford truck, fenders are flopping. I ain't lying, man. I'm talking about that truck should have been, he should still be in the junkyard. I said, sir, he said, something the matter there, boy? I said, can you tell me where Jigger, Louisiana is? Well, I think it's down yonder, about 42 miles. You go down, he didn't even know where it was. Finally, by the grace of God, I came out to the end of a road, and I'm looking in a store, and it said, Jigger something, something. I said, I'm here. But while on that trip, I began to think about some things. that would cause me to lose my signal with God. You see, it's more important to me that I hear from God than it is that I hear from Brother Tony Shirley. Some of my dearest friends are in this room tonight, and we talk to one another on a regular basis. But I need to talk to God more than I need to talk to them. On Saturday night, when I'm agonizing over which way to go, on Sunday morning, it's not Brother Tony, it's not Brother Jenkins, it's not Brother Barry, it's not Brother Roscoe that says, Brother Eddie, this is what your people need. It's then I need to be able to pick up my spiritual phone in the depths of my soul and say, oh God, I need some direction. I need to have that connection with God. Teenagers, you're going to face some days. Some of you took a stand in this meeting this week. You stood up and testified to the fact that things were going to be different when you got home. Listen to me. You ain't got enough power to bust a grape. You're going to need some help. It's not of you to overcome temptation. But if you're saved, it's in you to overcome temptation. Some of you need to go home, tell that boyfriend two words. Drop dead. Three words. Fred. Amen. Get rid of the junk out of your life. You need the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I wonder how long it's been since He's talked to you. How long's it been? How long's it been since you just had a crying, snotting fit? How long? I like it when He gets in the car with me. When there ain't nobody else around. I'll pop in one of those New Man of Youth Choir CDs. I like that youth choir of Brother Jenkins up there in Michigan. Man, them Yankees can sing. Oh yeah. I get to driving down the road. I got a Brother Lee Davis's kids. They got a bluegrass gospel group, and they got a brand new CD. And they sang that Kyle Rowland song about a field of grace. I was driving home from North Carolina the other day. I just left Brother Shirley's on a Monday. I was driving home. He gave me that CD. I popped that thing in. I bet you I listened to that song 15 times back to back. That He picked me up and carried me. Oh, the Lord got in the car with me. It got so foggy I couldn't see to drive. How long's it been God spoke to you? How long's it been since you felt real conviction in your heart? How long's it been since you felt really led by God to witness to a friend? I'm telling you, friend, He's speaking. We're not hearing. He's still speaking, but we're not hearing. And the problem is, many of us have lost our signal. We've lost our signal. I'll give you some ways you'll lose your signal. It works with your cell phone, but it works with God also. You can get in a bad place and lose your signal. You can get in a bad place and lose your signal. Brother Barry Ferguson lives up in the snow blizzard Antarctic of Pennsylvania. And we talk on the phone all the time, and Brother Barry says, I'm fixing to go around this mountain, or I'm fixing to go through this tunnel. I might lose you. I'm going into a bad place. Did you know 9 times out of 10, how many of you ever said that? I'm going into a bad place. If I lose you, I'll call you back. 9 times out of 10, we know we're going into a bad place before we get there. Amen. 9 times out of 10, we know we're going into a bad place before we ever get there. Hey, girls, when you crawl in the back seat of the car with a boy and mom and daddy ain't around, you know you're going in a bad place before you ever get there. When you get invited to a filthy R-rated movie with taking God's name in vain and nudity and sex and all that stuff, you know you're going into a bad place before you get there. We get in bad places and lose our signal with God. Some of you hadn't moved toward this altar this week because you've been in a bad place. You ever sit in services like we had tonight? And really down inside, you wish you had the joy I had? Down inside, you wish you felt like kicking your heels over your head? Down inside, you wish you felt like lifting your hands and shouting. Everybody else is doing it and you wonder, why come I don't feel that? That don't make us wrong and you right. That just means we heard something that you didn't hear. Tonight, as they started playing them bagpipes, there was many of us started hearing a sweet voice from another world. I'm talking about all four bars, brother. We were topping trees. God was blowing smoke in our soul. We heard Him loud and clear. But some don't have a clue. Because in your life, spiritually, you are in a bad place. If you're in a relationship, boys, they always hammer the girls on this. I don't understand that. Them stinking knothead boys that gets them to do it. You in that touchy-feely relationship? I had one boy tell me, well, preacher, we ain't went all the way. You heard what the preacher said last night. If you even thought it, you've done it already in your heart and you're guilty of it. Stay on me right there. Don't bow your heads. It ain't time to pray. That's a bad place. The Bible said, make no provision for the flesh. Amen. I got about a 75, 80-pound Labrador Retriever that I got from Jigger, Louisiana. That was my love offering. I can throw a bowl of Alpo out there. Now, y'all don't get offended at my dog's name. But I can say, Dixie, don't you eat that Alpo. And she's sitting there like, okay. As soon as I walk off, that dog gonna eat. So will your flesh. But why the Bible said not to make provision for it. We get in a bad place as Christians. We lose. You remember how God used to talk to you when you first got saved? Woo! Wasn't it sweet? Some of you just need to come out of that bad place. You just need to come out of that, crawl out of that bad place and crawl back up in this altar. Come back to where you got in. Come back to where you got in. Come back to where it was sweet. Come back to where it was real. Come back to where you could feel them and hear the voice of God speaking to your heart. If you get in a bad place, you can lose your signal. Secondly, if you fail to charge your battery, you'll lose your signal. Are you listening? If you fail to recharge your battery, you will lose your signal. And you know what? I don't know what your phone does, Samson, but mine gives me a warning. I'm talking to my wife, or I'm talking to Brother Shirley, I'm talking to somebody out here, beep, beep, and I look down, it says low battery. You know what that tells me? I'm getting weak. I'm getting weak. I'm tired. I've give out. But you need to get me somewhere and get me plugged in to a power source where I can take in. Then you can unplug me and I can go back and give out. But before long, you're going to have to bring me back, plug me up so I can take in. Might I say to you tonight, that's what the Youth Ablaze is all about, that we can come in here together under the mighty hand and grace of God, crawl up in the altars of God, plug up to Calvary and say, Father, charge my soul. Amen. Some of you's battery's graveyard dead. We could touch our tongue to both your posts and it wouldn't even tickle. Amen. Dead. As long as it's been since you got charged up. Huh? How long's it been? There's some of these boys down here I ain't heard a peep out of all week long. They got to blowing them bagpipes. Woo! So that's having a fit. I said, they got plugged up. Amen. If I come in this place, and Dr. Jenkins comes in this place, and Brother Shirley comes in this place, and all we do is come to give, we're going to go home weaker than when we came. Brother Shirley didn't have to preach Thursday. But he said, Brother Roscoe, can I come early and just get in on it? You know why? Because here's what we do. Here's what our lives are. We give and we give and we give. We jump on another airplane, go to another place, and we give and we give and we give. Then we come back to our places on Sunday and we give and we give and we give. But bless God, sometimes preachers, we got to get back. I'm talking about to the spout where the blood comes out and get our souls recharged for the honor and glory of God. Amen. I've got a hickey. I don't know another word for it. There's a hickey right there. Shows me how strong my battery is. Meter. Would it be a meter? Meter? That. One of them. Shows me. My battery's got three dots. Supposed to have four. That means before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to have to get this thing plugged up. Before I get crawled into them covers tonight, I'm going to have to get this thing plugged up if I want to use it tomorrow. My battery doesn't need charging once a week. How many of you charge your cell phone once a week? Once a week? You're not a pastor, I promise you that. Why come we charge our cell phone every day? But we don't charge our soul but once a year. We make up our minds we're going to go home and set the world on fire. But we don't pray. We don't read our Bibles. We don't witness. We don't hand out tracts. We don't show up for Sunday school. We don't pay attention during the preaching. Are you listening? And slowly, that charge that we got at the Youth Ablaze begins to weaken and dwindle. And this world will drain you. It drains me. I go and go and go sometimes. And honestly, preacher, I normally wouldn't say this to people I'm preaching to, but I go home and tell my wife, honey, I'm tired. She said, well, you got to go so-and-so tomorrow. I don't want to go. I'm tired. I need to get recharged. And if I need to get recharged, you need to get recharged so that I've got full signal with my Savior when I need to speak to Him. But I also need full signal and full charge when my Savior needs to speak to me.
Amen.
You see, this phone doesn't just receive, but glory to God, it sends. It's not just that I can hear from God, but it's that I can come boldly and God can hear from me. But I don't need to spend an hour when my son is laying on the side of the road confessing my sins and getting right before I can talk to God about my son who's in trouble. You get in a bad place, you'll lose your signal. You forget to charge your battery or fail to charge your batteries, you'll lose your signal. Stay with me. If you forget to pay your bill, you will lose your signal. Several years ago, before these phones came out, those first smartphones that you operated with one of them little plastic pencils, I seen a preacher that had one of them and I thought, man, I can't be cool like him till I get one of them phones with a little plastic pencil. I hate it. I upgraded, extended my contract, stuck with it for 2 years. $500 cell phone. You ever try to drive down the road poking that, trying to send a text to somebody? I hated that phone. My son was in Champion Baptist College. I still had a good time left on my plan, contract. Levi called home and he said, "Dad, I'm coming home in a few weeks." He said, "And my contract's up on my phone." He said, "Do you think maybe we could go over to Verizon and upgrade?" And a light went off in my head. Every time Levi was home, he wanted to play with my smartphone. I ain't figured out why they call that a smartphone. You got to be smart to work it. It doesn't do much good when you got an idiot trying to use a smartphone. Well, I had the bright idea. I would take Levi's upgrade, get me a phone I could use, and pawn that one off on him. I went in the kitchen, got the Windex and some paper towels. I shined that puppy up, boy, and I rubbed her down. I found the box that had come in. I sealed it all up and set it on the coffee table. Levi come walking in the door from college. I said, "Daddy got a surprise for you." He said, "What's that, Dad?" I said, "Remember how you liked my phone?" "Oh, yeah, that thing's cool." I said, "He said, that's my phone." I said, "It sure is. Every stinking cotton picking thing that goes with it. That's your phone." Little did I know, in my contract, I did not have that unlimited web access. Oh, y'all hear me now, don't you? Hey, some parents sitting out there going, mm-mm. Levi doesn't have a laptop, so he's looking up all the junk he's got to look up in college on that smartphone. The end of the month come, I open the bill and it down to the floor. I said, "Something's wrong up in here." I got down to the bottom, it's $500 and something, and I said, "Ain't no way." I'm calling me some Verizon right now. I got them on the phone. I went through 30 minutes of, "For this, dial this. For this, dial that. I want a human. Why don't you have a for a human dial this?" I finally got a lady on the phone and she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I hope you can." Yeah. She said, "Is there a problem?" I said, "Yes, my bill." She said, "What's your number?" I gave her my number. She looked up my account. And she said, "Mr. White, what's the problem?" I said, "You see that balance?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "That be the problem." She said, "Evidently, you switched that phone to another number." I said, "Yes, that's my son in college." She said, "Uh-huh. Happens a lot." She said, "You do not have unlimited internet on your phone, and all those charges are for the internet." I said, "I didn't do it. Bill him." She said, "Sir, it's on your account." I said, "I ain't paying it." She said, "I'll cut you off." I said, "Cut him off." She said, "You don't understand. When I cut him off, I'm cutting you off. And I'm cutting your daughter off. And I'm cutting your wife off." I said, "You take a credit card?" I realized that to maintain my service, two things were necessary. Pay my bill and stomp my son. I accomplished both. Actually, my son was greatly thankful that he was 10 hours away. If we don't pay our bills, our service will be cut off. If you think that God is just at your beckoning call, you're out of your mind. If you think God is just a spare tire in the trunk of your soul that you drag out only when there's a problem, you better wake up and smell the coffee. To have constant access to Him, you have to pay the price. It'll cost you something. It'll cost you to spend some time in this book. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin." There ain't but one way to do that. You got to read it. It's going to cost you something. To have power, instant access to God, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some faithfulness. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You can't show up once a month and just expect God just to open the windows of heaven and pour it out on you. It's going to cost you. Hey kids, like the preacher said, it may cost you some friends. Listen, when I got saved and made up my mind to do right, I ran with the roughest crowd in Dallas, Georgia. When I got saved, God said, "You're going to have to do something about that." And I was almost friendless for a while. But now, I would take any of that crowd, put them all together, and I have more friends, all of them combined. Their friendships have not been expanded outside of our little area. I've got friends in Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York, Kentucky. I can just go on, Canada, Mexico, Australia, the Philippine Islands. We can just all around the globe. Because I decided I'd pay my God said, "You think you're losing, son, but you're not losing. You're gaining." So often we preachers preach and we preach, you got to give up this and you got to give up that and you got to give up this and you got to give up that. No, listen, what it is, you're going to gain this and you're going to gain that and you're going to gain this and you're going to gain that. Hey, it's far better living for Jesus than it ever was living for the world. I'm telling you, hey, kids, pay your bill. You get in a bad place, you'll lose your signal. You forget to charge your battery, you can lose your signal. My wife reminds me every time before I leave town. I don't know who your carrier is, but with Verizon, you dial *228 and it updates your roaming capability. In other words, it connects you to any new tower. And every so often, you're supposed to update your phone. That's what revival is, ain't it? Every now and then, we need to update. We need to get back on this altar and renew some things. Some vows and some promises we've made to God. We need to get back to what we said last year and say, "God, I know I said I'd do this and I know I said I'd do that, but God, I haven't done it. And God, I want to update that promise tonight and I want to update that vow tonight and I want to update that commitment to you again tonight." Just because you messed up last time, do it again. Do it again, man. The Bible said a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. You know how many times I've messed up? Over and over. I was preaching this message at Brother Barry's camp. My dear friend Jonathan McNeese was sitting on the front row and heard me preach his message. I got done and we walked outside and Jonathan said, "Brother Eddie, can I tell you something about that cell phone signal? Maybe you don't know." I said, "Shoot, yeah, Brother Jonathan, you give it to me, I'll use it and say God gave it to me. Amen." He said, "Did you know that you can have a phone that the service has been totally cut off? Totally disconnected. In the drawer, in your kitchen, somewhere, that you haven't used in a very long time." He said, "If it'll come on," he said, "if it'll come on," y'all stay with me right here. He said, "as long as it'll come on, it doesn't matter how long it's been down. It doesn't matter how long it's been dead." He said, "but preacher, you can always dial 911. Somebody ought to give Him some glory tonight. I don't know how many times I've had to dial 911 and say, God, I'm in a mess. I'm in a bad place. I hadn't charged my battery. I hadn't paid my bill. I need emergency service tonight." Woo! Somebody ought to dial it right now. Crawl out of your seat where you at. Pile up in this altar. Get 911. Three areas tonight where you better be sure you have a good, strong signal with God. When it comes to the issue of sin in your life, you better make sure you can hear directly from God. You see, your friends won't convict you of your sin. The world won't convict you of your sin. Certain gospel groups won't convict you of your sin. You better listen to me. But God will convict. I'm not the convictor. No preacher's the convictor. It's the Holy Ghost of God that woos us and draws us and breaks our hearts afresh and anew. You better make sure. You know, we're living in a society today when the majority of men who say they are God called will not preach on sin. It's not popular anymore. You know what Sam Jones said? Sam Jones was one of the most famous Methodist preachers that ever lived. He was from one town over from where I grew up, Cartersville, Georgia. I've been to his home. Sam Jones said this, a Methodist preacher. He said, I'd rather be called a drunken sot than a nice preacher. I'd like to hear Howdy Doody say that one. Yes, we're to preach on grace. Yes, we're to preach on love. But we got to proclaim that sin is still a killer of the soul. Everything's a lifestyle. No, it's sin. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. I got one preacher friend of mine. He believes that thing about greeting your brother with a holy kiss. I believe busting him in the mouth to kiss you. I can't stand that. Every time I see him coming, I'm like, oh, he's going to kiss me. I know it. I know it. Ooh. I love Brother Tony, but they just ain't nothing in me that goes, I ain't never had that. Yeah, thank God. Probably crossed his mind. No, I'm kidding. You know what that is? It's a sin. It's wicked, and the Bible calls it an abomination. We all right tonight? Oh, it's okay when you're talking about getting plugged up. But you can't hear God convict you of your sin when you're not plugged up. Listen, it's not promiscuity. But listen to me. It's fornication. And it's a sin. Come on. It's not promiscuity. Promiscuity, I can't even say it. It's pornography. And it's a sin. The Bible said that sin may appear exceeding sinful. You remember when sin used to bother you? You know what the devil has done to America? And I'm not preaching on TVs, I have several. And if you got one of them new 57-inch LEDs and you got convicted about, don't bust it with a hammer. Bring it. Amen. Don't let it go. Send it to Georgia. Amen. I'll pay the shipping. I like that HD and all that. Amen. Now listen, the devil has used that TV. He's used Hollywood. He's used the rock music crowd and the country music crowd to numb us to sin. Remember when you first got saved, every dirty thought went through your mind? You said, oh, God, forgive me. Nope. And now it don't bother you anymore. Well, all right. I'd been saved about 2 weeks. I worked as a commercial plumber. We were putting in a slab, putting pipe in the ground, digging ditches. That's what... I was a glorified ditch digger. I had a license to dig ditches. Go figure. I picked up a day labor on the corner of the square in Marietta. What that is, is a bunch of winos that'll go work 8 hours to get them some wine. But they're good shovel pushers. We call them backhoes. I won't tell you what kind of backhoes we call them. We call them backhoes. I picked this guy up. He could still smell the wine from the night before. He got out there dancing around on that shovel, couldn't even get it in the ground. I told him to go cut me a piece of pipe, and he said, "How many little marks is that?" I said, "You idiot, get off my job." He said, "How am I going to get back to Marietta?" I said, "I don't care." And he set into cussing. Called me a blankety blank, blankety blank. Now, normally, we got problem at blankety. Before I got saved, I was doing good because I'd have done decked him at blankety. But blankety blank, blankety blank, I'm pushing a flat. Y'all know what a flat face shovel is. I'm cleaning out the ditch where the backhoe is dug. I didn't plant it, but I come from the bottom. El kabong that man right in the face with that shovel. Busted his nose, knocked out some teeth. He had to go to the hospital. I got home, cried all the way home. Brother Jenkins, it killed me. It killed me. I honestly believed I couldn't be saved and do what I'd just done. It bothered me that bad. I got home and I called my preacher. And I said, Preacher, he says, "What's the matter, son?" I said, "I ain't saved. I'm going to hell, preacher. I know I ain't saved." He said, "Son, I just baptized you 2 weeks ago. What do you know? I ain't saved. I can't be saved and do what I did." He said, "What'd you do, son?" I said, "I hit a man with a shovel." He said, "You what?" I said, "I hit a man with a shovel." He said, "Hard?" I said, "Hard." He said, "Brother Eddie, why would you hit a man with a shovel?" I said, "He called me, Brother Early called me a blankety blank, blankety blank." He said, "My soul, son, I'd have hit him too." You ask them, they know my preacher. But it bothered me. I've heard a lot of preachers say, "Oh, when I got saved, my cusser quit. Mine tapered off." When I got saved at first, I wasn't always saved, I don't think. It took a while for it to sink in. I'd get mad. You know, I'm just... Man, I'd find me a place on a construction job, and I'd weep. I'd say, "God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, Lord. It bothered me." But we go without praying, and we go without reading. We go without charging our batteries, and we stay in the bed, the bad place too long. And we go without paying our bill, and we just don't hear the voice of God when it comes to the issues of sin in our lives. How long has it been since you wept over your own sin? When it comes to the issue of sin, we need to hear the voice of God clearly. Secondly, when it comes to the issue of salvation, we need to hear the voice of God clearly. Clearly. I won't stay on this one but a second. But when He calls, don't look at the caller ID and say, "I'll get that one." Don't ever let God go to voicemail. He don't leave them. When He calls, you answer. Are you listening? It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. But years ago, I asked Pastor Doug Fisher if he would be my spiritual father, my pastor, if I need one. He calls, and I'm busy. I have to put whatever I'm doing aside. Unless I'm preaching or preaching a funeral, something crazy. Why? Because that call is important. What he has to say to me means something. And usually when he calls me, it's because the Lord has spoke to his heart. Many of you preachers know what I'm talking about. He'll call at 6 o'clock in the morning, "Brother Eddie, Brother Fisher, what are you doing?" "I was playing golf." "What do you think of 6 o'clock? 3 o'clock in the morning where he's at. God put him on my heart, or put me on his heart. It must be important. God's calling from heaven. It must be important. If God's trying to deal with you about your salvation, listen, all that hangs in the balance, kids, is heaven and hell. You might ought to take that. I wouldn't die, go to hell, but nobody. No party, no good time, no boy, no girlfriend. I'm starting to say no boyfriend. For the girls, no boyfriend. I wouldn't die and go to hell for nobody. I had a young man tell me, right down the street from our church. I said, man, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, no, sir, preacher, I'd bust hell wide open. About 17, 18 year old. I said, why don't you do something about it? He said, I'm so sick and tired. He said, I've been in church all my life. He said, I'm sick and tired of all the hypocrites. Just let me tell you something. Why do you want to spend eternity where most of them are going?
Amen.
You tired of being around them?
Yeah.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to hell for no sourpuss. I wouldn't go to hell for no backbiter. I wouldn't go to hell for no gossip. I wouldn't go to hell for no liar. I wouldn't go to hell for no mean-spirited Christian either. I'd get born again tonight. I wouldn't care what nobody thought. I wouldn't care what nobody said. I would deal with the issue of my salvation. If God spoke to my heart right now and said, practice what you preach, buddy, I'd come off this altar. I'd get on my knees. I would say, work out your own salvation. Fear, trembling. Are you saved tonight? God's sticking His finger in your soul. Going, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. You've been faking, that's you. Pick up the phone, pick up the phone. This is important. Comes the issue of sin. By the way, that stuff you're saying about your friends on Facebook, that's sin too. Make prayer requests, you liar. Sin. You're using that thing for any other thing but to share your family or your photographs or whatever with your friends. That thing's wicked. The preacher, you ain't got no right. I got every right. I'm doing exactly what God called me to do. When it comes to the issue of sin, you better get back to where it bothers you. You better get back to where you can hear God. When it comes to the issue of salvation, you better make sure you hear the voice of God when He calls. I'm glad that New Year's Eve, when the Lord Jesus called, I said, yes, Lord, loud and clear, here I am. Tell me what to do. I don't want to die and go to hell. Thirdly, and I'm done, when it comes to the issue of surrender. When it comes to the issue of surrender. Listen, when you see us in service, we've got our hands lifted like this. You know what that is? That is a sign of submission. When a cop draws his Glock, draws a bead on you and says, freeze, you don't go. That means you got something behind your back. You don't go like this, because that means you got something in your hand. You go like this. I surrender. I surrender. Why? I don't want what's coming out of the end of that Glock. I don't want to pay the consequence for not. Preachers tell stories about being called of God. Sometimes, Brother Tony, it's almost like they brag on the fact of how long they ran from God. That's the stupidest thing you could ever do. If you don't believe it, you get to heaven and ask Jonah. Jonah, how much sense does it make to run from God? Makes a lot of sense if you like whale puke. Amen. I'd give anything if the day God dealt with my heart about surrendering to the ministry, if I'd have just said, I give. I got as out of the will of God when God was dealing with me about surrender as I have my entire Christian life. I started laying out of church on Wednesday night. I would run. You know what I found out? I could run. I couldn't hide. He showed up in them coon hunting woods. He showed up in that deer stand.
I remember that night laying in my bed. The Lord woke me up in the wee hours. I said, God, I surrender. I felt the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, there's a little baby girl laying in the next room. She's mine. I could take her. Brother Eddie, would you do what I'm asking you to do? I surrender. I woke my wife up out of her sleep. Tears running down my face. And I said, honey, you said you'd always stand by me no matter what. She was scared to death. She knew something had been wrong. She thought I was cheating. She said, oh my God, what is it? What is it? I said, God's called me to preach. She went, amen. Outside of my salvation, greatest day of my life. I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I'll go to Jesus. I'll go to the backwoods of Kentucky. I'll go to them old coal mines. I'll go to Pennsylvania. I'll go to Canada. I can say A. I'll go to Canada. I'll go to Mexico. I'll go to Austin. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. When God burdened my heart, Brother Daniel, or Brother Tony, why don't you come? I want you to sing Jesus. When God began to burden my heart for the city of Somerset, Pennsylvania, there was not a true Bible-believing work in that town that I know of. There was some kind of motorcycle dealership or a skating rink. I forgot what it was. It had gone out of business. I drove by that thing one day. I was up there preaching. God said, that'd be a good place for a church. I said, yeah, for somebody crazy enough to live up here. I began to pray. For several years, Brother Barry will tell you, I prayed. God had sent somebody. And I was scared in my heart, Brother Daniel, because Brother Barry kept saying, why don't you? Why don't you? And I was scared to death to even ask God because I'd promised Him, whatever you say, I'll do. I couldn't live 6 months in snow. I don't have no insulation. I just couldn't handle it. I said, God, please, please, send somebody. God supernaturally worked. Brother Barry birthed. Lord birthed that church, but Brother Barry started the Happy Valley Baptist Church, Somerset. But it scared me because I really believe I might have. It was a burden that strong. Sometimes I had my assistant pastor last year came to me weeping, and he said, preacher, I got to leave. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to start a church somewhere out in. Took a survey trip. Came back and he said, preacher, I thank God just for God will always use those who will. Before Brother Tony sings tonight, can you hear him? Can you hear him? God speaking about some issue of sin, the issue of salvation, maybe simply the issue. You say, preacher, he's not speaking in any area. Then you're in a bad place. Your battery's low. Failed to pay you. Come and die. Let's stand up. All over the house. Before Brother Tony sings, could we bow our heads? Close our eyes all over the building. Just for a moment tonight. Others are coming. Nobody looking around tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to wait just a minute till these that are coming get to the altar. Quietly. If the altars get too full,
come up here on this platform. By the way, some of you young men that are down here praying, why don't you come right on up? Come up on this stage. Just come on. Let's make room in the altar. There's always room to pray. Come on up here, guys. Come on up here, guys. Find you a place. Crawl up on up the high part. Cover the whole thing. That's what we have to do. Come on, guys. You can move on down. You in the aisles, you can move on down. We're making room in the altar for you tonight. If you're already in the altar and you need somebody to take a Bible and help you with this issue of your salvation, Brother Roscoe, you watch that side. If you need somebody to help you, show you how to be saved and pray with you, would you just stick your hand above your head? You're already in the altar. You need somebody to help you tonight. Would you just slip your hand up? We'll get somebody right to you. Right to you. Anybody. Those that are left standing in the seats tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in this world. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you died right this moment, and you're not sure heaven would be your home, I would like to pray for you. Need a lady right here. Need a lady right here. You're here tonight. You're not sure. Preacher, I don't know if I died right now. Heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up real high and just keep it up? God's calling tonight. Preacher, I believe God's calling. He's speaking to my heart. I'm not saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can, God bless you, Cynthia. I see your hand over against the wall. God bless your heart. Oh, my, my. Pick up the phone. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to burn. I want to have the peace of God in my heart. Please remember me. Here's my hand, preacher. Pray for me. What about the balcony? Anybody in the balcony? Preacher, I'm not saved. I need to get this thing settled about my soul. Anybody else? My, my. Don't let nothing come between you and heaven. It's not worth it. I promise you. Preacher, the Lord's dealing with my heart about sin tonight. There's things I've been fooling with and things that I've been messing with. And God's calling my number tonight, and I know I need to get this thing confessed and get it out of my heart. Please pray for me, preacher. Just slip up your hand. Oh, come on. We got a bunch of liars in this place tonight. Preacher, preacher, help me pray that I'd get victory over my sin. Slip your hand up. That's better. Come on. Come on, I got mine up. I wasn't holding this microphone. I have them both up. God bless your heart. Thank you, preacher. I know God just wants me to totally surrender, give my life to Him. Pray that I'd be able to do that. And not just words, but mean it from my heart. Anybody like that, just slip up your hands. Pray I just surrender my life to God. Let Him do with it whatsoever He will. Thank you so much. Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you again tonight, in Jesus' name. Lord, you've seen every hand, you know every heart. God, I pray you deal with us each accordingly. You know what we need. Lord, we see faces. Lord, you see souls. God, we see an outward appearance. You see an inward man. God, do what only you can do tonight and speak to our need. Don't let one leave here tonight lost without you. God, do something real. Don't let one leave tonight with unconfessed sin in their heart. Don't let one leave with an unsurrendered life. Have your way in this altar call. I promise you, I'll give you glory. I'll give you praise for what you do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.